Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host Alex, coming to you about a week after our Combine preview. And now the Combine happened. We're here with our Combine recap. Pretty self-explanatory stuff. And Alex is here to join me this time from home on his little spring break, where I have to deal with the hustle and bustle of college. But then we'll flip-flop next week. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just relaxing a little bit right now, but my break hasn't been as break as I've wanted it to be. Still a lot of work and stuff that I've been having to do, so not ideal, but still happy to, you know, nice to be home. Obviously, you know, when I feel so close to MetLife Stadium, it makes me happier. You know, I really need to be close to the air conditioner.
And someone who might not be close to the air conditioner in the next few years, the New York Giants reportedly are done with Daniel Jones and regret the contract of, you know, signing him last offseason, according to one source, and that is a pretty noteworthy source, of NFL Network's Rich Eisen. On his own show the other day, I believe it was actually, we're recording this on Tuesday morning, I believe it was yesterday morning on Monday, he said in relation to the Giants, the two words Eisen heard the most were buyer's remorse, meaning obviously that they regret signing Daniel Jones last offseason and what this cap hit has done to the organization and the franchise due to probably how much they signed him for and how the play last season did not equate to that. Obviously, Jones getting injured, tearing his ACL, having something to do with that. But regardless, the quote again, quote, are absolutely done with Daniel Jones, end quote, was from NFL Network's Rich Eisen. Alex, your reactions to this are what? Because Joe Shane at the NFL Combine spoke highly of Daniel Jones, as he always does. He said, I have faith in Daniel Jones as our starting quarterback. That was just a week ago at the Combine. Is this news from Rich Eisen surprising to you in any way?
I mean, I didn't think, at least the tone that Rich Eisen said it in and what he heard, I didn't think it would be that flat out, like, Daniel Jones is done kind of thing, but or buyer's remorse, but I mean, you have to take everything you hear with a grain of salt, right? This, a key thing to remember, this is from Rich Eisen. I know everyone is talking about it, but Rich Eisen, that the segment that he was talking about, it was the top five rumors he heard at the Combine, not top five facts, not top five anything. But, you know, that's still valid to talk about, obviously, hence why we're talking about it. But it's not set in stone that that's definitely reality or whatever it may be. We don't know if that's coming from people in the Giants themselves, other GMs, other coaches from other teams. There's a lot of possibilities of where this all could be from, but obviously Joe Shane is not going to come out and say the Giants made a huge mistake signing Daniel Jones to $40 million a year over 4 years. They're not going to do that, especially considering that they probably have to play him this season. So they're, of course, going to show confidence in him and back him up publicly. But I mean, I think behind the scenes, unless Joe Shane is an incredibly incompetent GM, which I don't think he is, I'm sure he's not completely thrilled with what he did here with Daniel Jones. But, I mean, I'll say this kind of transitioning to what I think about the whole situation rather than just the rumors. I think if Joe Shane kind of stays pat and doubles down on the mistake, that's so much worse than just kind of admitting that he made the mistake with Jones, trying to fix it quickly, moving on to, say, a different quarterback in the draft or whatever it may be. I think that would show that I think I have more confidence in him as a GM rather than kind of being stubborn and kind of tanking his job kind of aligned with Daniel Jones, which I think is what you'd have to do if you stick with him. And, you know, I think that's probably a 50-50 chance either way. So I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, this all circles back to what we talked about last week with our guest from Talking Giants, Justin Penick, which obviously go back and listen to that episode because mostly all the points are still valid.
Josh, is that a new word?
Mostly. It's going to be a word that you're going to cut out from this episode when you're editing it. No, I'm just kidding. But we talked about this whole contract situation with Daniel Jones and a take that a couple people disagreed with, including Alex and Justin on the podcast, which is what I said, and I still stand by this statement. I think the Giants are going to stick with Daniel Jones next season for the remainder and the entirety of next season. I don't think that the Giants are going to fully transition, and you know what Alex mainly said on that podcast was, you know, if they do draft a quarterback and Daniel Jones starts playing well throughout the season, they'll bench him halfway through or a few games in or right at the end and put in another quarter. I do not think that will happen. I think there's a chance that they draft a quarterback, but I remember the statement and I said it. I said, I do not believe the Giants are drafting a quarterback at 6, regardless of who is on the board. And I still stand by that. So obviously we'll have to see and wait what happens come draft time. Maybe this Rich Eisen report will, you know, continue. But, you know, I'm gonna keep my my Giant take and my you know, I can't throw it away now. I can't say one thing one week and take it back because we got one rumor. So I'm still gonna stand on it until the draft and until they draft someone at 6. I will continue to say I do not believe the Giants will draft a quarterback at number 6. All right, with that being said, let's get to our NFL Scouting Combine recap. We'll be back right after this break. Stay tuned.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome back. Our NFL Scouting Combine 2024 recap. We'll start with day one, getting right into it. It's our top performers and who we believe, or at least were the top performers. Well, they were because of the different events here. Obviously, this is not based on pure opinion. It's based on how they did in certain aspects of drills, etc. So, Brandon Fisk is the first player we're going to talk about. The interior defensive lineman out of Florida State, 6'4", 292 pounds. Obviously, now all these height and weights get confirmed at the combine, which is a big deal because, you know, maybe some schools, when they do that, kind of round up a little bit, a couple inches here and there for the height or for the weight, lower it or, you know, make it higher depending on the position that that player is in. But we get the actual official NFL results now. Out of the defensive lineman, Fisk finished with the fastest 40-yard dash, the best vertical jump, and the best broad jump, almost 10 feet in the broad jump. Or is that 10? No, 10 feet in the broad jump. vertical
4.7 40 was crazy too for a guy his size. Absolutely insane.
He had a 33.5 vertical jump as well, which is pretty impressive. And then his 10-yard split just came third, I guess you could say. I don't know how you want to phrase that, but it's still within the top of the interior defensive linemen at 1.68. So, yeah, obviously super good in the speed and the power metrics at the draft. Obviously, there is different things that the NFL Combine doesn't accomplish, and that is how good they are at actually playing the game. So, you know, these are all the skill, you know, type of issues or positions that they kind of test, and that is speed and strength. Obviously, you know, you can test bench press, but how many reps does a guy bench is not going to really equate to how they can use their moves to break past offensive linemen. So again, take all of these with a grain of salt. How much does it matter? I actually was watching Pardon the Interruption the other day, Alex. Or it was either Pardon the Interruption or Around the Horn, one of the ESPN shows, and they were talking about a guy that we're going to talk about a little bit later because that 40-yard dash combine record was taken this year at the NFL Combine, and the anchors on the show were talking about it, and you know, the question was, does that even matter? Like, is that really going to make a difference at the end of the day? Does him breaking the 40-yard dash, you know, combine record matter? And in the grand scheme of things, it's probably yes for him because he might raise up draft boards because of that. His name will get talked about more by scouts. Maybe some people who didn't know him, they now know him because his clip went viral from breaking the record. But besides that, does that show that he's better than another wide receiver? I mean, I don't know. I guess it shows that he's faster. But anyway, so Fisk is our number one player at scouting combine day one.
Yeah, second player we're going to talk about, we're moving to the edge right now with Dallas Turner out of Alabama, 6'3", 247 pounds. He ran a 4.47 40, which was the first at his position group, a 1.54 for a 10-yard split, a 40.5 inch vertical, first in his group, and a 10-foot-7-inch broad jump, which was second in his group. Obviously, Dallas Turner already projected to be a very high pick in this year's draft. He showed, you know, a lot of, you know, physical tools with his testing that are going to reflect well. The vertical, the broad jump, which really kind of emphasizes his athleticism. He, you know, it's funny, I saw a comparison actually online. I just wanted to bring this up. His physical traits, his testing, very similar to Hassan Reddick, who obviously is tearing it up in the NFL right now, 10 plus sacks every single season. So a player that's very versatile, like Hassan Reddick as well. I think when we get to the edge rusher position, which I don't know when that's going to be for us scouting wise, but I think a very interesting position for the Giants, maybe something that they addressed in free agency more than the draft. But if they do address it in the draft, Dallas Turner is certainly a very, very good player. And this edge group really showed out at the combine, Josh.
Speaking of the edge group, Alex, I'll let you continue with Chop Robinson. I know before the show you wanted to bring up the order a little bit to talk about him.
Yeah, I mean, Chop Robinson, I don't know. I saw someone, you know, talking about this. There's another guy from Penn State, maybe two guys from Penn State we're going to talk about later as well. But Penn State just keeps bringing up these athletic freaks in the combine that just keep going crazy and crazy, but they can't have any success in the Big Ten at all. They can't beat Ohio State. They can't beat Michigan. They can't beat anyone. And they're just not very good as of late, yet they have all these talented players. So for you Penn State fans out there, please let me know what's going on, because every year there's these great Penn State players coming out and they just can't seem to do anything. So interesting. But anyway, Chop Robinson, 6'3", 254, so a little bit undersized for the edge rusher spot, but because of that, can test really, really well. 40-yard dash, 4.49, which was first in his group, 1.54 10-yard split, which was first, 34.5-inch vertical, which was his weakest score at 12th, and his broad jump, 10-foot-8-inches, tied for first. He was the leader in the 40-yard dash, 10-yard split. He's really explosive, especially initially off the line, which obviously you get from that 10-yard split. His vertical obviously was a little bit low, which I guess I think from edge rusher kind of communicates that you probably want a little bit more lower body explosiveness. But obviously his 40 and 10 yard split kind of, I guess, make up for that. Not poor performance, but more average performance. But yeah, he looked really, really quick. Even when he was running, if you saw the clips, Josh, he just looked so much quicker than even a 4.49. So a really, really exciting player. Kind of interested to see where he ends up going. A lot of ranging opinions about where he could possibly fall in the draft. So I think he didn't do anything to hurt himself, and he definitely helped himself at the combine.
All right, more Big Ten talk to come in day two, but we're still in day one with one more player. And for that one, we head to the ACC. Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of NC State, 6'4", 233 pounds. The one and only linebacker we have in this conversation, although, you know, edge and linebacker, they kind of rotate, but the only position linebacker-wise on our list. Well, he led the linebackers with a 4.44 40-yard dash, blazing speed by Wilson, a 1.54 10-yard split that was tied for the first among linebackers. And then his broad jump, 9 feet 11 inches and then 34.5 vertical. That is both within the top 10 for linebackers. So obviously, the standout speed of 4.44 seconds is absolutely unbelievable, especially with his 10-yard split too. So moving from sideline to sideline, chasing down running backs out of the backfield, you know, whether they're doing an inside zone or an outside zone, that's going to be something that's going to be really good against the running backs. And then obviously, with that speed, that means that not always linebackers can keep in touch or, you know, play alongside these blazing fast tight ends that are coming out of the draft now or in the NFL as of now, or wide receivers even as well. So Wilson seems like from those speed charts, again, we don't really know how that converts to on the field action during games, but it seems like he is pretty fast. So his athleticism is there and well suited for a good defensive scheme, especially someone like, you know, a guy as Giants fans even know, like Wink Martindale. He'd be perfect for blitzing and rushing in onto the quarterback and surprising them with an attack, like a blindside sort of sack. All right, that's enough for me. Alex, day two, go to Max Melton.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to mention, before we move on to day two, I feel like we could talk about so many players. This is probably one of the best combines in terms of guys who just exceeded expectations. So many high-quality players to talk about, but we're just limiting it to a few for each day. Otherwise, we'll be here all day talking about it. So I just wanted to point that out. So if anyone says,
Let's clarify. Alex will be here all day talking about the players.
Okay, fair enough. But all I'll say is, if your favorite player who you saw and you were like, why didn't they include him? He had a crazy combine. He was fantastic, especially when we get to day three with the wide receivers. I mean, I could put 10 wide receivers up there. There were so many great performances. But so just keep that in mind and don't yell at us. Anyway, moving on to day two here with the DBs and tight ends. We're going to start with a local guy, Josh. Max Melton out of Rutgers, cornerback, 5'11", 187 pounds. Probably a slot guy from what I've seen in terms of his scouting, his projections. But we'll have to wait and see. Maybe he has the size to play on the outside. But his 40-yard dash was a 4.39, which placed him sixth among corners. 10-yard split was a 1.51, which was ninth. 40.5-inch vertical, fourth. And his first among cornerbacks, broad jump at 11'4". He was really, really a constant improver at Rutgers. He could play both the inside and outside at Rutgers. Obviously projects more as an inside in the NFL. His broad jump and his 40-yard dash, really obviously important for the cornerback position, really shows his explosiveness as an athlete. Size, burst, really should make him ideal candidate, to be drafted somewhat early in this year's draft. Maybe one of the earliest Rutgers players to come out in quite a few years. Obviously, we had Isaiah Pacheco. He's turned out pretty good. We had Bo Melton a couple years back, or that was last year, actually, Josh. So who knows? Maybe Max Melton related to Bo Melton? I got to check on that, actually. I'm interested. I think he could be someone who maybe breaks the mold of an earlier ish Rutgers pick, because we haven't had that in quite a bit. And obviously, don't go to Rutgers, neither of us do, but as the local state school, I guess we always kind of root for them, right, Josh?
Yeah, well, they're not really ever good, but
yeah, so it's more like you feel bad for them and you just want them to do well, you know? I guess we'll go with that.
Yeah. I'm looking right now about your little Bowmelon.
I just realized that as I was talking, I was like, wait a second. I doubt they're related.
Correct. Correct.
They
Max Melon. Yep. That's his younger brother.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, we'll see if he goes higher or lower than his brother in the draft. I believe
we go from
sixth or seventh round. Sorry.
Yeah, we had a mock to the Giants a couple of times just for kind of for fun. Alex, we go from one side of the country to the other. We head to Utah. Cole Bishop, safety, 6'2", 206 pounds. Well, we could talk about safeties all day, too, because we both love that position. It was actually something, again, I'm not going to tease it all the time, but our interview with Justin Panic, we talked about what his favorite positions are, and he was talking about he really likes to see these cornerbacks and safeties in the defensive end because the speed really shows, and that's what happened with Cole Bishop, a 4.45 40, third among safeties, and 1.52 10-yard split. That was fifth among safeties, and then 39-inch vertical jump, and then 10'4" broad jump, both top 10 among the safeties. So it aligns well with the scouting report, his 40-yard dash combine result does. You know, his tackling ability, his physicality, his essential traits for being a faster and quick quarterback that's able to stop, you know, run defense effectively. And his vertical broad jump just shows that he has lower body strength. And besides that, you know, that's all I have for Bishop. Alex, you ready for the next player?
Yeah, we got two safeties on this portion of, what is it here, day two. So, interesting. I know not a lot of people are talking about the safety group. I think they're sneaky good this year. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see where they end up going. But Jalen Simpson out of Auburn, 6'179". He also ran a 4.45, which was fifth among safeties, or he was tied third, I guess, actually. But is it by the milliseconds or something that they placed them? I don't know how they do it exactly. But he was fifth. 1.51, 10-yard split, fourth. Vertical jump, 39.5, which was third. And then broad jump, 11'1", which was second. His speed in the 40, his explosiveness in the vertical and broad jumps definitely just confirmed that he was going to be a really athletic safety coming out of college, which you could see from his scouting report from his tape at Auburn. A little bit undersized, of course, at 179, 6', but someone who, you know, if they could bulk up a little bit, could be a very, very impactful safety for a team later in this year's draft.
And our next player on the list is the one tight end we included in this little draft scouting combine recap, I should say. Theo Johnson, a tight end out of Penn State. Alex mentioning the Penn State guys on this list. Here's another one. He's a tank. 6'6", 259 pounds. His 4.57 40-yard dash. These tight ends have blazing speed now. Second amongst the tight end group. 1.55 second 10-yard split. That was third among tight ends. 10'5" broad jump. Second amongst tight ends. And then 39.5 inch vertical jump, which is second amongst tight ends. His combine performance, particularly his remarkable results in speed and jumping events, underscores his physical traits, aligns with his anticipated potential. And we move from day two to day three, the running backs, the wide receivers, probably what everyone is waiting for. And Alex will start us off with that.
Yeah, starting with a guy that I don't think anyone expected to test this well, Isaac Guerrero, out of Louisville, 6', 221 pounds. Remember that weight, height and weight when I'm talking about these you know, combine data here. For his 40-yard dash, he ran a 4.33 first among running backs, 10-yard split, 1.55, a 13th run among running backs, which is interesting. I'll talk about that in a second. 41.5-inch vertical, first among running backs, broad jump, 10'9", second among running backs. So if you kind of look at his tape, everyone kind of sees him more as a power back, someone who could really break, you know, kind of operate between the tackles, but he has such elite speed, which you can see from the combine, but not exactly, you know, initial burst, which you see from the 10-yard split, which was ranked 13th. But once he gets going, no one is catching him at that 4.33 mark 40. So he's a really, really interesting player. Obviously shows a lot of lower body strength with the vertical and broad jump, which obviously is reminiscent of a power back, someone who could really break tackles. But yeah, his performance it was probably one of the most interesting we've seen at the combine in many years, because it was such a big surprise that he was going to run that quick and kind of operate like that. It really shows that he could be kind of either a power back, someone who can run between the tackles, break tackles, and also a guy who can kind of give you that big home run as well, big home run play.
Well, Alex, you talk about players not being able to catch up to someone. It's this guy right now, Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas who made the masses watch. 5 foot 11 inches, 165 pounds, so a tiny and very thin wide receiver. But with that, he breaks the 40-yard dash combine record. 4:21, which is first among wide receivers, obviously ran the fastest in NFL history, beating out John Ross, who previously held the record. Obviously, that was always pinned to his name when you would see John Ross in NFL news. Obviously, not a very successful NFL wide receiver, but whenever a team would sign him, it'd be like, well, he broke the 40-yard dash record, so he's pretty fast. This achievement for Worthy is hopefully going to, you know, help him climb up draft boards. But again, how much does it really equate to how good he is on the field? That's something that you have to think about. However, it's not just the 40-yard dash where he excelled at. The vertical jump, 41 inches, was second among wide receivers. 10-foot 11 broad jump was fifth among wide receivers. So obviously, the four main types of drills that they had at the combine, he excelled at. He finished within the top five at. And then obviously, I mean, breaking the 40-yard dash record is pretty unbelievable. 4.21 seconds is crazy. And he knew right when it happened because he just kept running right into the end zone. So congrats to Worthy for the combine record. Obviously, it gets people like us talking about him. So he did pretty good.
Yeah, and now moving on to another Texas Longhorn here in Adonai Mitchell, 6'2", 205. Again, remember the height and weight. He ran a 4.34 40, which was second among wide receivers at that height and weight, which is crazy. 1.52 10-yard split, which was eighth. The vertical jump, third at 39.5. And 11'4" broad jump, which was first among wide receivers. He has remarkable athleticism for his size, especially speed. He's a really big contested catch guy as well, which you can see with his leaping ability, with the vertical jump, with the broad jump. So he can be kind of a guy, a run after catch guy with his speed. He can beat you over the top. He can do contested catches. Adonai Mitchell, really, really exciting prospect. Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU also had an excellent day. Also ran, I believe, a 4.34 40. Also a huge, a really big guy who really showed his athletic prowess. So shout out to him. He kind of just missed out on this list, but I couldn't include three wide receivers in a day that had wide receivers, running backs, and QBs. So we did, unfortunately, have to, you know, add a QB, and it's kind of a guy everyone's talking about, so I wanted to add him on the list.
And that is J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback out of Michigan, 6'2.5", 219 pounds. And here's the thing, Alex, when we talk about quarterbacks who is rising on draft boards, even before the scouting combine, it's been J.J. McCarthy, especially linked with the New York Giants at 6, which leaves Giants fans super scared, because this is a player that was looking in the second, maybe early third, but mostly second round in the draft. And you're telling me he's going to climb all the way up to 6 if the Giants like him that much? However, maybe this will change, because he didn't practice in any athletic drills. When he did throw, though, it was not good. Made some impressive deep ball throws towards the end of the drills, but I don't know, because here's the thing, J.J. McCarthy, to not participate in the athletic drills, I understand that, you know, the risk of injury and maybe falling down draft boards with all this stock rising for him, he doesn't want to lose any of it, but it's an interesting decision nonetheless.
Yeah, and someone who interviewed really, really well, according to a lot of different sources, so I think that's going to boost him. So overall, a very positive combine for J.J. McCarthy, just on the field. I guess not super positive. I'd say on the field, he kind of stayed stagnant in terms of his stock, and then he just really boosted it in those interviews, according to sources. Of course, I was not in the room for those. Anyway, moving to day four, we've got the O-linemen. Always fun to talk about it. Really, really fun O-line class as well. Really, really athletic O-line class. And we'll get into it with the top guy, Joe Ault, offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, 6'9", Josh. Did you hear that? 6'9", 321 pounds. He ran a 5.05 40, which was eighth in his position group. But then again, he is 6'9". 1.737 yard, 10 yard split. Yeah, I know. I got to say it over and over again. I'm so astounded by his performance. A 173 10-yard split, fourth in his position group. 28-inch vert, 11th. Broad jump, 9 foot, 4 inches, which was 8th. His three-cone drill, which, of course, these last two are the most important for O-linemen. Three-cone, he had a 7-3-1, which was first in his group. 20-yard shuttle, which is probably the most important, I'd say. It's a specific O-line drill. 4-5-1 was his score there, which was first in his group. Historic combine performance for Joe Alt. He was already going to be a top 8 pick at the latest. He's definitely going to be a top 8 pick now. Definitely did not hurt himself. And for someone who was so high up draft boards already, it was kind of surprising that he even participated in all these drills, to be completely honest. But yeah, really, really great performance from Joe Alt. And he'll be going very, very high come April.
All right, another offensive lineman, Talizi Fuanga, offensive tackle, Oregon State, 6'6", 324 pounds. 40-yard dash and 10-yard split did not crack the top 10 for offensive linemen, but a 5.13 second 40-yard dash, which is probably faster than what Alex and I could run. So congrats to Fuanga there. His vertical jump and broad jump, though, were within the top 10, a 32-inch vertical jump, a 9'3" broad jump. So obviously, another tall and, you know, big player. Alex, you're talking about a player who is within or surpasses 6'5". He's at 6'6". So Fuanga, a very big guy. Physicality and aggression shows in his combine results. Obviously, we'll have to see what happens with the 40-yard dash and 10-yard split. Maybe not a guy who you want to involve in some blocking during screen passes or outside runs or maybe tosses, because I don't know how quickly he'll be able, you know, to set the edge for blocking those defensive linemen. But we go from Fuanga to the next offensive tackle on the list.
Yeah, moving to Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia, 6'8", 340 pounds. There was some controversy with him, Josh. I don't know if you saw this, because he did the... So they said he did a 4-3-3 20-yard shuttle, I believe it was, and everyone was going crazy because that's a crazy score, right? Joe Alt, I believe, got a 4-5-1, which is already insane, but 4-3-3, I think that's like record-breaking for that drill. And then we found out that they messed up the data and he did not actually participate in that drill at all. So a little bit of interesting tidbit there in case anyone's interested, or they saw that and they're like, why are you mentioning that he had a 4-3-3? That was not real. That was all, I guess, an error. Of course, I'm sure Mims really wishes that they didn't fix that or whatever that may be, because then he would look really good. But he did not actually participate in that drill. But he did participate in these drills. 40-yard dash, 5.07, which was 9th. 1.78, 10-yard split, which was tied 18th. Vertical jump, which was 25.5, which was 17th. And broad jump, which was 9'3", which was tied 9th. Here's the thing with these O-linemen, all these scores, the range from these kind of 40-yard dashes, they're all within like 0.1. So like 5.07, 5.05, 5.09, like it's very, very similar. So even though the ranking doesn't seem as good, it's more like the tiers for these O-linemen. So that's something to keep in mind. And someone at his size, 340 pounds, running almost sub 5 of 40 is pretty impressive considering his size. And he's someone who definitely been rising up draft boards with his, you know, physical play at Georgia. Someone who, you know, has been pretty good technique wise, despite just being a guy who could overpower people as well. So we're gonna have to see where he ends up in this year's draft. But another guy who's very, very big, could be worrisome in terms of potential injuries, as well as we saw with Mekhi Becton a few years ago.
Our final player in this 2024 NFL Draft Scouting Combine recap, Taylor Bordellini, center, Wisconsin.
Do you think he's Italian, Josh, or what do you think?
I would believe so. 6'4", 303 pounds. The center in his combine was first in the 40-yard dash out of the centers, 4.94, 1.69 10-yard split. That was second. The vert jump, everything in the top five, by the way. The vert jump was third, 32.5 inches, 9'4", broad jump came second. Bordellini showcases that his flexible at his center and guard split positions, by the way, so he can do either of those for a team. That's a pretty good thing to have, and it's a good skill to attribute when you're sitting down for interviews at the NFL Combine with all of these coaches and scouting staff and all of the. Go ahead, Alex.
I read this last night as I was going to bed, funny enough. He actually has played all five spots at Wisconsin. So he's played left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, and right tackle. So that's another thing that he could really boast at the combine. I don't know where his position is actually going to be in the NFL, probably center or guard, but very cool that he's played all four spots or five.
And we know that the NFL likes versatility. So obviously good for him, good for Bortolini, and good for all of these players in this year's NFL Combine. And that's going to do it for our 2024 NFL Scouting Combine recap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Giant Take Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of those at the Giant Take Pod. Alex on Twitter at anorian23. I'm on Twitter at joshsholo29. Subscribe on YouTube or wherever you're listening, all those audio platforms. We'd really appreciate it. All of that will be found in the podcast description. And that is it from me.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Hope everyone enjoyed the Scouting Combine. Free agency is right around the corner, so look forward to that. And obviously, more and more rumors are going to be coming out from the draft. Pro days are going to start soon as well. So a really exciting time in the NFL, and hope everyone is enjoying all of it. And hope everyone has a great rest of their week. And we'll see you very soon talking more Giants, more free agency, and more draft. Peace.